1 to 2 from Psalm 138, and maybe we can read together. You found your place? Ready? Begin. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. What a tremendous verse this is. What a tremendous song and psalm it is by David. We said last week that David had a decision that he will sing and worship God. And if there's any decision that we need to make in our lives, it's that very thing. That would sing and worship our God. Second of all, we saw the direction in which he was directed at, and it was said to the holy temple. We have a holy God, don't we? We worship a holy God. And thirdly, we saw David's desire, his loving kindness and truth. He was praising and worshiping God for these two elements, his loving kindness and his truth to a holy God. And we see also David's disposition. He says, I worship with what? Or I praise with my whole heart. He wasn't casual about this. He wasn't double-minded about the matter. He wasn't half-hearted about his praise and who he was worshiping. He was, with his whole heart, directed his praise and worship to God. But we also see David's declaration. Why? Why are you praising this wonderful God? Because he has a wonderful word. He's realized through the life of how God's been dealing with him that God has magnified his word above all his name. And we said that if God magnifies his word above all his name, how much his people ought to magnify his word in our life. We use the word magnify as an acrostic. Who can remember this morning? Help me out. M was for? Meditate. We ought to meditate on the word of God. And A was for? Appreciate. We ought to appreciate the word of God. Many a time we take the word of God for granted. Amen? We ought to appreciate, love it, and seek after it. And the third one was G. Grow. We need to grow by the word, grow in the word. And we ought to desire it. And like a baby desires milk. And so therefore, if we meditate and appreciate, then we'll help us get that desire so we could grow as Christians. Amen? And then we had the word what? Letter N. Navigate. This is our lamp. This is our light. This is our compass, if you would. This is the very word of God that would help us make decisions both for the here and now and all for eternity. And we had an I. What was I for? Invite. Inviting the word of God in our lives. It's very hard to take rebuke, isn't it? It's very hard to take correction. Oh, the flesh doesn't love it. It just cringes. But the Spirit of God does. Jesus said that the flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. The Spirit of God is always willing to take rebuke, to pray, to do the things that are pertaining unto life and godliness. So if we'd be wise enough, we'd say, Lord, convict my heart. Search me by your word. And this year, I hope and pray that we'd be a people that would not be offended by the word of God. Blessed are they, or happy is that person, that nothing shall offend them, amen? Not even the word of God. And then we had F. What was F for? Faithful, being under the word of God and in the word of God, being found in our place. You want a good recipe for backsliding? Get the word out of your life. You want a good recipe for keeping on, pressing forward? Keep in the word, even when you don't feel like it, even when it's an out of season moment. Get in the word and stay under the word of God. And then we had the last one. What was it? Why for? Yield. Can I just say all the things mentioned? And meditate, appreciate the word of God, to grow, to invite, to navigate, to simply be faithful. All these things, if we're under the word of God, into the word of God, hear the word of God, if all these things are done in our lives and we do not obey the word of God, then it's done in vain. The purpose is for the fact that we do what God calls us to do. And so if we're going to magnify the Word of God in our lives, we need to be yielding to the truths of the Word of God. But this morning I want to focus on the letter M, meditate. Meditating on the Word of God, and I hope it will be an encouragement to you, because many battles are won and lost where? In the mind. And so this morning I want to focus on meditating on the Word of God, the importance of meditating on the Word of God, the benefits, the results for meditating on the Word of God. The psalmist said in 119:97, "Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day." All the day. And to meditate is simply to ponder upon, to think about. It is to mull over. You know, when you keep going over and over and over and over and over and over, the very same thing. By the way, how many of you have gone over some things that would be so discouraging in your life? You just go over it and over it and over it and over it. You're mulling, you're meditating upon those things. And we need to be a people that would be mulling over not those things, but the Word of God. Thinking on His Word. Meditating, it simply means to consider diligently. Why? So I can hide in my heart. Hide the Word in my heart. To keep in there. And there are many reasons why it's imperative that we should soak up the Word of God and let the Word of God sink in our hearts. And I want to give you three reasons this morning. The meditating on the Word of God will help us, number one, resist the temptations of the devil. Can you turn with me to Luke chapter 4, if you would? Luke chapter 4. I want you to help me out before going through this passage. What are some temptations that Satan tries to use to tempt us in our lives? Anyone can help me out this morning? What are some of the things that Satan tries to do to tempt us? Okay. He would get discouragement in our life to tempt us to do what? Why would he use discouragement in our lives? What's the temptation if we yield to that discouragement? To give up? Give in? Yes? Yes, absolutely. He uses fear. Remember that time that he used fear in the life of Nehemiah? He was working on those walls and he was getting letters from Sambalot and Tobiah. And he said, "I can't come down. I'm doing a great work." By the way, the work of God is a great work. And the devil wants to steer you away from doing a work for God, to be occupied with other things other than the Word of God and the things that are pertaining in the Word of God for us to do. But he tried to, the Bible says that they tried to put fear in their hearts and their hands were weakened. And Nehemiah's cry was, "Lord, strengthen thy hands again for this work." Sophie, persecution. He brings about things in our lives to tempt us so we can stop doing the very things that God wants us to do. But I want to look very closely in the temptations in which Satan tried to tempt Jesus with. And that's found in Luke chapter 4. And verse 1, the Bible reads, "And Jesus, being filled of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And they were ended, and he afterward hungered." So imagine that, being tempted every day for 40 days by the devil. The devil's at your case, he's on your back, and he uses every little thing to tempt you. And the devil's trying to do that with, no doubt, anything that's trying to move forward for the glory of God. Anything that God is trying to do in your heart. By the way, the decisions that you have made for 2015, to read your Bible more, to get through the Bible more, and maybe to go out soul winning more, whatever it is that you've decided, say, and the Lord that's convicted, love my wife more, love, commit and submit to my husband more, whatever it is, because those decisions, the devil wants to say, just calm down, take a seat, relax, and he'll tempt you to do those. Okay, he doesn't want you to develop in your marriage or your family. He doesn't want the church to continue on. He doesn't. And so he'll keep trying and he'll keep tempting. Notice, "And the devil said unto him," in verse 3, "If thou be the Son of God, command thou this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him up into Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence, for it is written. He noticed that he couldn't do it on his own, so he thought he was very biblical in his response. Amen. It is written, it is written. And he thought he might just respond with a twisted scripture, if you would, or a misapplied scripture. It wasn't twisted. It was right. God promised that he would protect those by his angels. But he was trying to get Jesus in this one to tempt God or test God. Notice what he says now. And he brought him into Jerusalem on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from. He says, it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee, to give thee, and in the hands thou shalt bear him up, lest thy any time thou foot shall be dash thy foot against a stone. So what he said was quoting the Psalms. It's true, but he was misapplying it. And by the way, we can misapply scripture too if we don't rightly divide the word of truth. We can pull scripture out of context like the devil's trying to do here to try to get Jesus to tempt or test God, if you would. Notice his response. He says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for how long? For a season. And so if you've been tempted and the devil has left you, be sober, be vigilant. He's going to be coming back again. Don't let your guard down. Don't let your shield of faith down. He's going to come back. He's going to try again. He's going to use different means to do it. He will. But it's up to you whether you're going to give in to his temptations or you're going to respond and meditate on the word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. How did he try to tempt Jesus the first time? Jesus was fasting for 40 days, showing dependence upon God the Father. By the way, prayer and fasting shows dependence upon God. And what Satan wanted to do is get him to rely upon his own strength, to change a stone into bread that he'd eat. And Satan wants you to depend upon your own independence and strength and wisdom, and he doesn't want you to rely on God's wisdom. He wants you to depend upon self. You know, if you look at this contrast of temptation right down from the beginning of time, you see that there's a parallel. Let me say this. The devil is not up to new things. He's up to the same tricks that lead to the same result. And that's to get you to rebel or to depend upon self rather than God. Remember in the beginning over there, the temptation, you shall be as gods. He says to Eve, depend upon yourself. You'll be a God. You do what you want to do. You make decisions without God in your life. Don't worry about God's command and instruction. God knows from the day that you'll eat from that tree, you shall know the knowledge of good and evil. You rely on yourself. And then he tries to get him to test or doubt God's word. Have God said, what's new today? Can I just say, what's new today? That God, the devil tries to get us to test the word or try it, or there's doubt. People want to try to cast doubt upon it, and he tries to get us to follow him. Yeah. Eve saw the tree was good for food and was pleasant to the eyes. Remember, took him up. He says, look, all this could be yours. Just follow me. Worship me. Same old tricks. I'll give you this. Look what the world can offer if you'll just follow me. Satan is looking for a following. Satan is looking for you to follow the pattern of this world. Satan doesn't want you to depend upon God. But I love what Jesus said. He said, no man lives on bread alone. You know, there were two elements here that Jesus was simply showing. And one of them was, he was setting an example to us of submission to God the Father. He was a pattern. We look at his life and we say, wow, he is dependent upon God the Father. And so it was for our encouragement and that we'd pattern our lives after him, the firstborn among many brethren. And then we see a perfect example of his dependence upon God the Father. Not my will, but thine be done, through and through of his ministry, wanting truly the will of God to be fulfilled in his life. And you wouldn't go wrong when you meditate upon the word of God to know the will of God. No man lives by what? Bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God in Matthew, but in Luke, by every word of God. Let me just stop and say that our world, this is a quote that I saw in Newcastle, they sell motorcycles. And that was their phrase or whatever you want to call it, punchline for riding or buying a motorcycle when you ride there on the road. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. You know, one of the meditations that yoga gives you when you do yoga and you sit down under these teachers. I don't do yoga. I just research a little bit and I want to find out what they meditate on. Did you know that there is one, I don't know if every single teacher is the same, but there is one instructor that would simply get them to recite the second part, I am the captain of my soul, 6 times. And they'll have their left or right hand, I don't remember, on their heart or something. I am the captain of my soul. I am the captain of... And they'll recite that. It's only a work of the devil. All this meditation on the wrong things of self and getting you to meditate on yourself. That's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to meditate on yourself. Meditate upon your independence and rights and live independently outside of God's word. But he said, no man lives on bread alone. Let that sink in and meditate upon that in your life, that we don't live as Christians just eating every morning and afternoon and evening, but we live on the word of God. We meditate and we eat. We should be meditating and taking in the word of God, longing for it. Why? So we can resist the temptation of being independent and following the ways of the devil and even testing and doubting God's promises. And by the way, while we're here, let me just, 5 minutes, it won't take too long. I'm not sharing the message on Bible versions, but I want to show you a little something. The most popular Bible version today would be probably the NIV, New International Version. And Jesus made it very clear and specific that no man lives on bread alone, but by what? Every word. So do you think this morning that every word is significant according to God? Absolutely. I want to show you something over here for a moment. I want to show you that compared to the KJV and the NIV, there's a problem with the deity. Okay, the Bible says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And we see that word in the Greek called theos, meaning God. God manifested in the flesh. In the NIV, that word God is taken out, the noun there, and put a pronoun. What is it? They've got he appeared. Now, ask yourself this just simple one-word question. Why? Where it's so clearly, it emphasizes that God, theos, you can't miss it. Why put he? Who's he? So that's just one thought I want to give you there. Then the atonement of Christ. I mean, this is probably these four examples are just, nothing compared to how many other different things like this you can find there. These are four examples I'm going to give you. The Bible says in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through who? Through his blood, Jesus Christ, even forgiveness of sins. To whom he we have redemption, NIV, the forgiveness of sin. It's just taken out. Ask yourself why. Redemption through who? Now, again, it all through. If you do a study on it and you read it, you'll think not only words or sentences are missing, but a whole verse is missing. What's the requirement for being baptized? The Ethiopian eunuch says, "Here's water. What hindered me to be baptized?" And Philip said unto him, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Philip's question didn't get answered in the NIV. The Bible says that after he asked the question, in verse 38, they both went into the water and he baptized him. He didn't... Or can I say the Ethiopian, that's the error, the Ethiopian eunuch's question didn't get answered. But I'm going to show you something very surprising. And again, this is just scratching the surface. Notice this verse here. In Hosea 11, verse 12, "Ephraim compassed me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit." But notice the contrast. "Judah yet ruleth with God and is faithful with the saints." And we know that out of the line of Judah is the seed of, will come the seed of Christ. Amen. So we know that there would come the faithful one with God. I want you to see something. By the way, when I showed this to my wife, she didn't see it before. She said, "Oh, wow." And the same reaction from a brother who was talking to him on the phone, driving, showed him that verse. Same reaction. I said, "That's what my wife said." And let me just say, it ought to be the reaction of our lives. If we take the word of God serious and magnify his word above our his name, "Ephraim has surrounded me with lies," in the NIV, "Israel with deceit, and," not but, "and Judah is unruly against God, even against the faithful Holy One." That's not a translation little different here and there. That's the opposite of the truth. That is the opposite of the truth. And if that doesn't set us back and say, "Oh, wow," there's something wrong with how we approach every word of the living God that magnifies his word above all his name. Right from the beginning, the word of God has been attacked. Now, I was reading and studying from the Word of God from the day that I got saved, and I was using an NIV version. And I got some parts that were there that were true, amen? But it wasn't complete. And looking at that, it's scary. You know, that's completely, it's very hard to rightly divide the word of truth. You have a little milk here or there about the gospel, but what about your spiritual backbone and contending? You know, this is just, really, it's seeing that ought to just say, "Oh, look it." When my friend showed me that little verse that was taken out, that was enough for me. It just took one verse. I said, "No, I want to get myself every word of God." I wanted to have a little, compassion on a person that I met there in Coorong. He was looking at an NIV study Bible. And I just said to him, I just thought he's going to pay about $60 for this Bible. I thought, I don't really want to be contentious. You know, I know he's, but I just want to help him out. I thought I'd say, very nice. I said, "Excuse me, sir." I said, "Did you know that there's some verses missing from that Bible?" And I got a King James Bible and I said, "Turn to this page." And he turned to that page, Acts 8:37. And we're going through. And I said to him, I said, "See that? That's not there." And he looked at me and just nodded his head and he went and bought it. Now, I don't know what's going through his mind unless he tells me. But when Jesus said, "No man lives on bread alone, but by every word of God," he means every word. Every word means every word. Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and be found a liar." Some people have said, "Oh, you know what? Some people have added words in the KJV," and they have. If you find a KJV Bible, you'll find probably some words in italics. And those words in italics were added by the faithful translators for the purpose of making the sentence structure in the English make sense. For example, is, they're both highlighted, they added those. And thank God that they highlight those things so we can see what they did add, because they were trying to translate it word for word into English. Great responsibility. That was just a little thing. I just want you to simply say, and you know what? By the way, if you know someone that's been studying from the NIV, just help them out and show them that verse in Hosea. And just wait until they say, wow. And if they don't go, wow, just move on. Sometimes it just tells you whether they're for the word of God, love every word, and they want the every word of God in their lives. I thank God for a person that came up to me and showed me. And by the way, let me just say, a good way to start having a desire for the word of God, if you don't feel that there's a great desire there, is to fast. When Jesus was fasting in the wilderness, it was a challenge to the flesh to help his spirit rely and depend upon the word of God. Our flesh is a fallen nature. Jesus sinned and was tempted in all point, but he did no sin. But by his spirit, we're still able to crucify the flesh. And one of the best ways we can do that, yes, it's by the word of God, but if you don't have a desire for it, then you have to make a decision, I need to fast, if you can, if you're healthy and physically able to. And how long, that depends upon how long God leads you in a fast. But I want to get to a fast where I come to the point and say, Lord, make me weak, make me frail, because that's what happens when you don't eat, you're weak. Sometimes some organs begin to hurt. And then what are you doing? You're starting to depend upon God. You're starting to have a desire. You're humbling yourself. The Bible says they fasted and they afflicted themselves. It's not penance. On the contrary, it's so that I know God's will and I want to know his word and I want him to direct me and I want to meditate on it, but I just don't have that desire to. So just fast. Fast food. No, don't go to fast food. When the devil comes, we need to resist him steadfast in the faith. And we need to have our shield up. Shields up. Sword in hand. The sword of the Spirit. The word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. The reason why we meditate on scripture and memorize it, so we can resist the temptations of the devil when he comes. And every temptation, whatever it is, lust, this, that, is all leading to the result of depending upon the flesh and not on God. Getting your satisfaction in the flesh, in the world, from the devil instead of God. Second of all, meditating on the word of God will help us refine our faith. There are many times where our faith wavers. It's shaken. And sometimes we might have a doubt here and a doubt there. So there are some things that would rattle our faith. And we need to, at these times, be meditating and reflecting on the word of God, which shows us four things: God's promises, his person, his purpose, and his power. And in his word, when we know him more, when we know the word of God more, it can help us refine our faith. The Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when I'm in the Word, meditating on the Word of God, let me just say, it helps my faith, it strengthens my faith. When I study about the promises of God or the person of Jesus Christ, it strengthens my faith. Turn to Matthew 13, I want to show you something there. Matthew 13. Notice, if you would, verse 54. And when he was come into his own country, this is Jesus, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished. and said, whence have this man this wisdom and these mighty works? I understand this. They knew that he had wisdom and mighty works. They didn't doubt that. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother called Mary and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Is his sisters and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then have this man all these things? And they were all offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save his own country and in his own house. Notice verse 58. And he did not many mighty works there because of what? Their unbelief. Were they doubting his wisdom? No. Were they doubting his mighty works? Absolutely not. They were doubting his person. They were doubting who Jesus was. And let me just say this to you. Our wrong view of Jesus can hinder our faith and God working in our lives. We have to have the right view of Jesus. They thought that he was just a man. But he was more than just a man. He was God in the flesh. Remember, the disciples of Jesus Christ also had a similar situation where they had lack of faith, if you would. Turn to Mark 4. Mark 4. And notice verse 34. We'll go down to verse 35. And the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had... And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there also arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part, or the lower part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Look, let me just say, if anyone cares, it's Jesus. Again, they were doubting his person, his character. They were doubting who he was. If anyone cares, it's Jesus. And he arose and he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have what? No faith. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? I would say the same thing. That even the wind and the sea obey him. Who is this? We're looking at God in the flesh. They were still getting to know Jesus Christ. And listen, you as saved Christians, whether you're younger or older, we could never, ever, stop knowing our Jesus Christ. And when you get in the Word and you meditate and you grow in grace, notice, and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, your faith is strengthened. But there's no way in the world that you can have a strengthened faith when you don't meditate on the Word of God, which is the image or reflects Jesus Christ. This book here is a revelation to man from God. Especially that beautiful Christ, that Jesus. Concealed in the old, revealed in the new. Beautiful things though when you see, when you study and you see in the Old Testament, you see types of Christ. And you dig deep. Oh, and you see those things and you then see him come to pass. Jesus said to the Pharisees, search the scriptures for they testify of me. We need to search the scriptures. We need to meditate on the word of God so we could know who God is and the person of Jesus Christ. And yes, we could know that he loves us. Listen, many a times we look at our circumstance and that circumstance of life grips our hearts and we turn to God and we say, don't you care? Of course he cares. But we look at the problems of life and we think that God doesn't care. Because we allow the problems of life to control our feelings. And therefore we're not faithful or we're not living in faith or by faith. We're living or governed by feelings. Friends, let me just say, you don't want to be governed by your feelings. Feelings will take you somewhere that you don't want to be. You want to walk by faith. And to walk by faith is to meditate upon the Word of God. Jesus said, who do men say that I am? He said, some men, they say that you're John the Baptist risen from the dead. Some say that you're Elias or just one of the prophets. And Jesus turns his attention to Peter and the disciples and says, who do you say that I am? He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen? Amen. And I say unto you, Peter, Petros, your little pebble, your rock, a little piece of a rock that comes from a big rock, that, you know, it's the little crumb, I say unto you, Peter, upon this rock, look it up, Petra, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When you know your Lord, you know his promises are true, you can depend upon his power. I will build my church upon a rock, and that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Peter. God will never build a church upon a man, a fallen little pebble. No way. And all through and through, they knew that he was talking about the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. When we must have the right view of his power, and we have to dig into his word to know it. Meditate upon the word. Remember when John the Baptist had a little doubt? Remember? He had little doubt. He was in prison. And let's turn there in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. Notice verse 2, if you would. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto them, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? I wonder what caused him to ask that question. Notice verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do and hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And he says in verse 6, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Could it be that John the Baptist had the same thoughts as the disciples there in the garden, or perhaps throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, where they thought that he was going to be ruling and reigning, especially when he sat on that donkey and they held him. And when it came time to the crunch and they captured him, they began to doubt and fled and ran. Could it be that the same thing, that there was a little doubt about Jesus and his purpose? Was he going to rule and reign? Absolutely, but not now. He said, I first must suffer many things. And we know that suffering, why he did that, what he did. And then he's going to, look, let me say, he's risen and he's going to come back to rule and reign right on this earth. But we must first go through some sufferings. Absolutely. And John could have been in that dungeon, that prison, having that tinge of doubt, saying, is he the one? Is he my redeemer? Is he my savior? Yes, for sin he is. And one day from this present body, we're going to have a new body, out of this world completely. He is. And let me just say, sometimes death, when it comes, or something, an attack or a threat to the human body, may cause you to doubt your God and his purpose. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know why David could say that? Because he knew God's purpose. Meditating, even singing about the word of God. Listen, we need to sing and sing. Thank God for the singing this morning. Singing these beautiful, beautiful words of life. Drives my heart. But his singing was a reality in his life. He didn't sing that psalm, he lived the psalm. By meditating on the word that reflects of his God, his name, his character, his loving kindness, we must have the right view of his purpose. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Word of God, as we meditate upon it, helps us resist the devil, helps us be refined in our faith. Lastly, this morning, it helps us renew this mind. Man, our mind needs renewing. You know, the mind is a powerful thing. The mind, you say, why is it powerful? Because it never stops thinking. We can be talking right here, right now, and you could be hearing this message, and your mind, from one little word, can go, shh. Or maybe some of you that are new and have never been under the Word of God. Are you talking about? How does you know me? You're thinking that. I don't know you. I'm just preaching the Word of God. I bet your pastor's preaching. He made that sermon for me. Anyone felt like that? He just catered that for me. You know, I've been taught. He knows my problem. That's just for me. I'm just preaching what God lays upon my heart. And by the way, if I have anyone in mind, it's me. And before I step on anyone's foot, God stomps on my feet. He does. The mind is, it can go here, it can go there. We can win and lose battles without even doing anything. Without even going anywhere. It can keep us in bed. I don't have time, but let me just say this. The way we think can dictate our lives, the way we live. Someone once said, sow a thought, you reap an action. Sow an action, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap character. Sow character, you reap a destiny. Let me just say this. Did you know you can love God and think wrong? Absolutely. That's why God wants us to renew our thinking. And the Bible says in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. A renewed mind will lead to a transformed life. And when we meditate upon the Word of God, and the Word will help us renew this mind and will lead us to a transformed life. And the transformed life or mind will make us people that will make godly decisions. He says, and that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformed mind helps us prove what is the perfect will of God. In other words, it helps us know the will of God. But we need to renew this mind, because at times we have some negative. We can have evil thinking, evil imagination, which God hates. Look it up, Proverbs 6. Evil thinking, 6:16. Negative thinking, positive thinking, and then we can have biblical thinking. Not even the positive thinking is right thinking. I want to give you 10 biblical ways of thinking. I'm going to do it very quick. Number one, negative thinking says nobody cares. Positive thinking says everybody cares. Biblical thinking says God cares. First Peter says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Negative thinking says, I am a nobody. Positive thinking says, I am a so somebody. Biblical thinking says, I am made by God. And that's why we have purpose. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Negative thinking says, I'm not sufficient. Positive thinking says, I am sufficient. Biblical thinking says, God is my sufficiency. Paul says this, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Negative thinking says, I am fearful. Positive thinking says, I fear nothing. I fear nothing. Biblical thinking says, God is with me. And Joshua 1:9 says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Negative thinking says, I'm a loser. Positive thinking says, I'm a winner. Biblical thinking says, I have victory in Christ. Thanks be to God that give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Negative thinking says, I can't wait. Positive thinking says, I can wait. Biblical thinking says, I'm going to wait on the Lord. And David said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Negative thinking says, I will fail. Positive thinking says, I will succeed. Biblical thinking says, I must obey. Joshua 1:8 says, this is the book of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Negative thinking says, God won't forgive me. Positive thinking says, God will forgive me. But biblical thinking says, God can forgive me. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And negative thinking says, I can't change. Positive thinking says, I can change. Biblical thinking says, I can change through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And lastly, the negative thinking, I think this is something that we all go through, is I can't do it. Negative thinking. Positive thinking says, I can do it. Biblical thinking says, I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ, which strengthens me. We need to meditate upon the word of God to resist the temptations of the devil, to refine our faith, to renew our minds. Let's close together, if we would, Psalm 1. Psalm 1:1, and we'll read the whole chapter. Psalm 1:1, we'll be closing. Psalm 1. If there's any good place to start in the Psalms to start meditating, it's Psalm 1:1. Amen. Blessed. Some of you already know it off by heart. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. Don't rely on your feelings. Don't rely on Dr. Feelgood. Don't rely on the feelings of others. Don't rely on the counsel of Oprah. Don't rely on the counsel of this world. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. Nor, what? Standeth in the way of sinners. Nor sitteth in the way of the scornful. Don't be a scornful person. But what? But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And in his law doth he what? Love that word. Meditate. How often? Day and night. What's the result? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Let's say that together. Verse 3. Ready, begin. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff with the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And Isaiah said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in the perfect peace will come when we trust and meditate upon the word of God. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name, O Lord. Help me. Meditate on the word of God and magnify it in my life for your glory. And in that way, my friend, you'll have true prosperity and true peace. May God help us. Meditate. Ponder on, mull over, take in, chew on the cud of the word of God, beautiful food, chew and chew, meditate, meditate on the word of God, that the word of God may be magnified and lifted up in our lives. Jesus said, no man lives on bread alone, but by every word of God. Let's pray.